Good afternoon. I shall always be thankful I was born in the country, where every member of the family and all the neighbors took an active and personal interest in the weather. From our first peek out of doors in the morning till we looked for the stars before going to bed, we were weather conscious. Every family on the West Meadow Road had a copy of the Maine Farmer's Almanac hanging in the kitchen and knew just what to expect when the wind shifted, the sink spout whistled, and the old sow pig ran around with the stick in her mouth. Some of the stuff we were told as kids was all bosh, like, oh, see the sun drawing water, when everyone should know the sun is merely shining through a hole in the clouds. And there was that other fable. If you kill a frog before noon, it will rain before night. And don't touch a toad or you'll get warts. All that is poppycock. But red in the morning, sailor takes warning. Red at night, sailor's delight is something you can depend on. And that also applies to rainbows before breakfast. Just a few weeks ago, I heard WBZ's Cal Weatherby telling about a rainbow he had observed at 6 o'clock that morning. And while I didn't see it myself, I did put off watering the garden. And sure enough, that afternoon we had a good drenching shower. Almost invariably, when you see a red sunrise, and then it starts to mug up, you'll get rain before nightfall. But when the sun sets like a ball of fire, you can be pretty sure of a fine day tomorrow if that big red sun sets in a bright, clear sky. But if the old red hot stove cover sinks into a bed of ashes, look out for a storm. Check up on this and see how often it works out that way. Now that we're at the peak of vacation time and more families will be starting for the mountains, country, and seashore, I thought some of you might like to try being your own groundhog. You may not hit it as often as Weatherby of WBZ, the old salt, or Uncle E.B. Rideout, but you'll have a lot of fun. And it's barely possible that by observing local signs, your prediction might be right when the Weather Bureau boys are wrong. It has happened that way several times. Now, I suggest you go to the public library and get a good book, non-technical, about the weather, with plenty of cloud pictures. You really have to know about clouds to be a good forecaster. A very good book is Robert Moore Fisher's How About the Weather, recently published by Harper Brothers. It contains cloud pictures, wind velocities, record-breaking temperatures, and all sorts of interesting and valuable information. Why, I even found out why the old sow runs around with a chip in her mouth in that book, and a lot of weather charts, maps, and other things to help you become a successful forecaster. Several summers ago, when I was talking along these lines, I mentioned that mules sometimes make good barometers. Well, Mr. Fisher has a story about some army forecasters over in Europe who lost all their scientific instruments when a shell hit their jeep. And you know, they predicted the weather by the way the army mule brayed. Remember that old saying, when the jackass blows his horn, it's time to harvest hay and corn. I never expected to find that in the scientific weather book. Another thing that will help you are those weather maps in your daily newspapers. Cut them out and compare them for a few days, and you'll see how the cold front sweeps down from Canada, the location of the high-pressure areas and what they mean, and the temperatures around the nation. And all this, plus your local observations that I'm going to talk about, will make you a weather prophet for your immediate vicinity. Well, now let's suppose you're vacationing up in the mountains. You brought along your radio, but the static is so bad you can't get anything. The papers won't be in till later, and you want to know if it's going to clear up so you and the gang can go mountain climbing. Mountain weather is far too tricky for me to tackle, but one thing is certain. If you spot a cloud hanging over the top of a mountain peak and it stays there for several hours, then suddenly start sliding down the mountainside to fill up the valley, you might as well get out the canasta pack and popcorn. For sure as shooting, that kind of a cloud mass means wet weather. If the clouds have been fairly high all day and then suddenly drop and thicken in to form a heavy gray blanket, get your umbrella. And any time you spot several layers of clouds moving at different speeds, at different heights, and in opposite directions, there will certainly be a change in the weather, and in all probability, a change for the worse. Now, if you're vacationing in open level country where you can see the horizon, you'll have a better chance to do your forecasting. Say you get up to find a cool, dull chill this morning. Thin gray overcast with no sun. But down close to the horizon, the sky is dark gray. And along that blue-gray band, little white puffy clouds are scampering from west to southwest to south. Them's rain baskets, my Uncle Austin used to tell me. And then he'd add with a twinkle, and baskets always leak. and they always did before nightfall. However, if that band just above the horizon is pale yellow or pink, and the cloud baskets are dark in color and moving from east to west, go right ahead and hang out your washing. Your clothes may get sprinkled and it may be breezy, but no great amount of rain will fall with that kind of a sky. If it's been lowery, showery, or downright rainy most of the day, and the official weather report says no change for tonight and same conditions tomorrow, you keep a careful watch. You may see long about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon a general lightening of the sky. And if you note a patch of blue big enough to make a Dutchman a pair of breeches, and the wind swings into the westward, and the sun goes down with a brassy look, you can say to your friends, storm's all over, stars will be shining by 10 o'clock, and tomorrow'll be fair and cooler. 9 times out of 10, you'll be right. When the sun sets red and clear, it means fair, warm weather. When it sets yellow, it means clear and much cooler. Over a period of 30 years, I've watched one condition of the sky that has never failed but once to bring perfect weather. Time without number, I've heard others predict rain, snow, hail, all kinds of bad weather for the next 24 hours. But I'd stick to my prediction. Tomorrow will be a beautiful day. And only once in all those years did I get fouled up by a local snowstorm. Of course, all signs fail in dry times, as the old saying goes. But by and large, an observant farmer can tell pretty well what the weather's going to be by just observing the signs old Mother Nature hangs out. Say he gets up in the morning and finds the fog so thick he can't see the end of his concob pipe. The sky is dark and everything dripping. He turns on the radio and hears, wherever fog still persists, there will be some clearing. Showers are likely, and in the higher elevations, there may be rain. Looks like lousy weather, doesn't it? That farmer wanted to shingle the barn and get in some hay, and you folks were all set to go on a clam bake. Well, let's step outdoors while the cough is perking and see what old Mother Nature can tell us. First, let's take a peek at the porch railing and see what the spiders have been doing. You don't fool them any. Aha, look at this. Last night, that spider's web was on the northeast side of the railing. Now, he's moved it over to the post on the southwest side. He thinks it's going to clear off with the southwest wind and be hot. Any cobwebs on the hedge? Sure, lots of them. And there's more out there on the lawn, all covered with jewels of dew. And look here, right between the bricks and the garden walk. See those tiny piles of fresh earth the ants have piled up in the last few hours? Well, my friend, that's all you need to know. You can go right in the house and tell Mom to hurry up breakfast and wake up the gang. It's going to clear off and be a scrumptious day. And when it does clear around 10:30, to reveal one of those clean, washed, baby blue skies, your folks will think that you are a weather wizard for sure. Suppose you want to know what the weather will be for next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The papers predict showers and cooler, and the radio says cooler and probably showers. Sounds bad for that beach party and the baked bean supper on the parish house lawn. But wait a minute. Those official forecasts were made some time ago and are intended to cover a large territory. It's just possible the showers may skip the spot where you are. So let's take a walk and see what we can find for local indications. We'll begin right here in the flower garden. If Alan Wood was here, he could tell us what's eating those plants over there by the wall. Well, I see the honeybees are busy, and the ants are working overtime. And listen to the birds, singing as if they didn't have a worry in the world. They're not dashing about after grubs and bugs to feed the little ones the way they do before a rainstorm. Looks pretty encouraging to me, but let's sit down here and compare the clouds with that book that we brought along. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd call those silky-looking clouds cirrus. And the book says, fair weather if they don't thicken. Well, these clouds are as far apart as Democrats in Vermont. Now let's take a look at the wind. Well, that old weather vane, the Indian on top of the barn, is pointing his arrow toward west-southwest, and that calls for good weather for several days. And look at the butterfly. Yeah, there's another one. And will you look at all those gnats? I guess that's what they are, dancing up and down between the hollyhocks. I've been told they never do that unless it's going to be dry weather for the next 70 years. So regardless of what the weather report says, it looks from here like a good weekend. But let's go up on the hill and take a look around. Uh-huh. The cows are contentedly chewing their cuds in the shade of the old apple tree. And the horse and pony, quietly grazing. And those loons down there on the pond. Haven't heard a squawk out of them all morning. So I'm going to predict a fine spell of summer weather for the next 3 days at least. However, if we hadn't seen any bees gathering honey or any ants working, and if the animals had been restless and fidgety, and no gnats were doing their spiral jig, and the leaves on the trees were trembling toward the south, I'd have said showers and rain. But I can't see any sign of bad weather from here right now. One of the best natural barometers is a Bamagilia tree. Used to be a lot of them around. Now they're pretty scarce. But if there should be one in your neighborhood, keep your eye on it during the next hot spell. You may be rewarded with an unusual sight. All of a sudden some afternoon, you'll see the leaves of that tree turn, so the backs will face the sun. And that means rain in 6 to 7 hours. Anytime you want to know what the temperature is and you haven't got a thermometer handy, just catch a cricket. Put him in a box and count the number of times he chirps in 15 seconds. Then add 37, and you'll have the exact temperature for that moment. If it cools off, he'll chirp slower, and he'll go faster if it warms up. This isn't any gag, folks. It really works. And here's something else to watch. If all that thick black soot on the sides and back of the fireplace bricks begins to sparkle in spreads, it's a sure sign of rain. And also, the fireflies out there in the sweet pea patch will stop flashing their magic lanterns before a rainstorm. And did you know that the lowly chickweed always closes its tiny white blossoms just before a shower? It's a well-known fact that insects, birds, and animals can sense approaching storms, especially severe ones. So if you see the horses and cattle acting up, and the old sow pig with straws in her mouth, and the sheep heading for shelter, watch out for a ring-tail peeler. Ever hear that old one that goes, when the peacock shrills and the sow carries straws and the ducks quack loud and the mule hee-haws, look out for black clouds, high winds, a deluge of rain, and plenty of thunder and lightning. But don't tell your Aunt Sally. That thunder will spoil the milk and cream, because it won't. It isn't the rumble of the thunder that spoils the cream. It's the humidity. And you can tell when that's ready to lift by the way the salt shaker acts. If it still sticks, the muggy weather will hang on. But if it pours without pounding, clear, cool, dry air is on the way. An old salt shaker will measure the moisture every time. And my mother always kept a bottle filled with spirits of camphor on the windowsill. When it clouded up, we battened down for a spell of wet weather. And our old sink spout always gave warning of a coming northeaster. Would you like to know how to tell the speed of the wind? Well, if you see smoke rising straight up from the chimney, the wind is less than 1 mile an hour. If it just makes the leaves rustle and you can feel it on your face, it's a gentle breeze, about 4 to 7 miles. When the papers and dust start blowing around, it's up to 10 or 12 miles. When the small trees begin to bend, it's 19 to 25 miles. If the big trees start swaying and the telephone wires begin to sing, you've got a strong breeze, say 25 to 30 miles. And you shouldn't have to be told that when branches break off and the shingles start to soar, you've got a gale, probably 60 miles an hour. And from there on up, you're facing full gale or hurricane wind.